objects, emotions, feelings, attitudes. And as far things go, this must rank somewhere up there in the Premiership. You don't do things by halves in St. Albans, do you? If you're going to get rid of ministers, get rid of four. Thank you for allowing me to be part of this gathering, if not the kicking out. But what to say on an occasion like this? It's very easy when two charming women grab you at synod, one on either arm, and say, "Will you come and preach for our fellow?" And you say, "Yes," and you think, "What on earth am I going to say?" Well, my default position is always scripture. And what a gem of a text that is just offered in the reading from Acts 20, verse 32. "And now I commend you to God and to the message of his grace." That's it. I must feel that I can just say that and sit down. "I commend you to God and to the message of his grace. Amen." But perhaps you expect a little more. It's impossible, I think, to offer a simple, succinct definition of grace. It's so multifaceted. It is so many-splendid. The best we can do, perhaps, is to describe its impact and its effect and to offer comparisons and contrasts. So we could speak and perhaps try to say, "Oh, grace, it is undeserved favor, unmerited favor. Something we receive that is not as a right, but as a free gift." We can think of it as something that draws out from us feelings of thankfulness, of gratitude, of being blessed. So, Ali, Bruce, Linda, Rosemary, I'm taking them in alphabetical order. You're all gathered here. Which aspects, which dimensions of grace might we draw for this parting? Perhaps first something about fortifying grace. Fortifying grace. Have you wandered into your local chemist shop recently and looked at the vitamins counter? I make sure you've got at least half an hour to go through all the options that are there. Every combination of multivitamins is there for you at a price that you would not believe. But I remember back in my early childhood, back in Antigua, that there was only one tonic really that was available. Forgive me for advertising. It was Ferrol. Ferrol. It's a wonderful, rich compound. And for a family that was completely teetotal, it had the added bonus of having a good proportion of alcohol in it. It really gave you a kick. It was almost worth getting ill so that you could get Ferrol afterwards. It boosted you, it lifted you, it made you, it had all these compounds in it, and just reading the list, you thought, "I feel better already." Grace is more fortifying than any multivitamin, even Ferrol. And indeed, far better tasting than the other dreaded remedy, cod liver oil. Oh, did you remember that? At least now we have a decency to wrap it in a capsule so you don't get that awful taste as it goes down. Vitamins, fortifying. The message of God's grace, God's undeserved favor, God's setting aside the divine majesty and stooping to rescue you and me and everyone who was lost, and to help them to become that which they were destined to be. That message of grace, it is that that should make you feel strong, uplifted in all the circumstances of your life. God did that for us. Amazing grace, amazing love. And really not to St. Paul, with having given Christ and having sacrificed Christ, would he not also give us everything else that we need? This was just the starter, and all the rest is yet to come. It is added grace upon grace upon grace, all the grace that you need to strengthen, to fortify, to make you what you were designed to be. God is for us. What an extraordinary week it has been in the world of sport. 8 goals by the Lionesses in one game, and 5 in another. The whole Northern Hemisphere beating the Southern Hemisphere at rugby football. What's going on here? Even cricket, England has managed. But God comes in and says, I'm on your side. I'm on your team. I'm there for you. I'm there rooting for you, supporting you, and everything that you need, I'm there. Draw on my strength. It is grace that builds us up, that makes us stand tall. Do they still use the expression, bigs us up, make us feel a bit bigger and broader and draw near? That's what grace does. Grace that is offered to us to build us up. And grace, the fortifying grace, it brings us hope. Verse 32, it secures our inheritance. We have the assurance, the title deed, to the inheritance we share with all God's chosen ones, those who are being made holy by grace. We have a hope, an assurance. God's will and God's purpose is being worked out. And grace says it will come to fulfillment. It will find completion. We are not caught up in a random series of acts in our world. Everything is not falling apart. What is the world coming to? It is coming to Christ. It is being drawn into Christ, who is going to be the center of all things. That's what grace assures us. I commend you to God and to the message of his grace, fortifying grace. Whenever we feel weak, debilitated, whenever people focus on our frailties and our failures, that is the time to draw on the fortifying grace of God. And how blessed, how truly blessed we are in those moments when we sense our need of grace and of fortifying, and God's messengers, angels, come with just that cake in the desert that we need to fortify us. We are not meant, we are not designed to survive on our own. Our strength is in community, in our bonds with one another. It is as we bear each other's burdens. Ali got it absolutely right in that song. Brother, sister, let me serve you. And pray that I will have the grace to let you be my servant too, to receive fortifying grace at this time of parting. Those who wait on the Lord, says Isaiah, will have their strength renewed. They will mount up and soar with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow tired. They will walk and not faint. Do you notice the progression? Those times of exaltation when we are high up there and we are ready to dance with the Zimbabwe choir and we think everything is fine. They don't last forever. The time comes when we can just about keep running. And it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. But you will not grow tired as you run. And then you can run no more, you will walk. Fly, run, walk. Rosemary speaks of the next phase of her life. We wait to see whether it is running, or walking, or hobbling. But the promise is still there will be fortifying grace, this grace that will give strength for each day. when we are called to be exultant, when we are called to run on those errands of gospel, mercy, and mission, when we are called to walk with patience alongside those who suffer, those who are in need of support. I commend you to the message of God's fortifying grace. But grace comes in another brand, another flavour, that there is forgiving grace. Even with the best will and intentions, still things go wrong within us and between us, within the body of Christ. But there is grace for every such situation. I wonder, as you look back on the ministry of those who are moving on, what are the things that stay in your mind? And is there a temptation, perhaps, to dwell on those things, those moments of pain, of difficulty, of struggle? And those who are moving on, as you look on the ministry that you have offered, are there the scars, the wounds that you feel have been inflicted and that you feel are going to be part of your life from now on? Earlier in the same chapter of Acts, Paul is able to speak confidently about he has fulfilled his ministry. I coveted no one's gold or silver or fine garments. I worked with my own hands to support myself and my companions. But elsewhere he speaks about the conflicts that he experienced, the resistance that he met, the undermining of his message, and the questioning of his ministry that he faced. But in all of this, his abiding testimony was this: God said to me, "My grace is enough. My grace is enough. It's all you need. Grace will see you through." Having talked of grace like a multivitamin, let me now change the image. It's not at all like another thing. It is more like polyfiller. Well, there are other fillers available, but that is just one example. Grace is what makes good the holes in our lives, the brokenness. When gaps emerge and things get fractured, grace is what fills in the missing bit and blends the two parts together again and holds them together in a bond that is stronger than it was before the breakage happened. That's forgiveness. The most miraculous of products. And it's free. It's free at point of need. It's not cheap. It's the most costly thing in the world. It cost the life of our Lord to secure this grace that makes possible the mending of broken lives. It takes a lot to heal those who have been harmed by life. But God, in Christ, has made it possible. I come from a very large family. I'm large. Five brothers and five sisters. And the demands on parents were sometimes quite extreme. And Mom, who was a saint, died all too young, was not reluctant to administer punishment when needed for those who had stepped out of line. My brothers and sisters, you understand. But sometimes, Mom didn't immediately resort to the strap or whatever came handy as a means of punishment. Sometimes, Mom would be going to utter a prayer, a very sincere prayer. "Father, give me grace with this child." "Father, give me grace with this child." I was shocked many years later. My eldest son was playing on the floor with his toys, and among the toys were some empty yogurt cups that we had found. I can't remember what brand of yogurt they were, but they had this capacity to stack in a way that was just like building bricks and cost a lot less than the real thing. So Dale was playing with his government accounts and trying to make them do something, and they weren't cooperating. And suddenly, in the stillness, there was this cry, "Father, give me grace with these yogurt cups." I don't know where he got it from. I think it's his mom's side of the family must have had the same experience. But the miracle was that having prayed that prayer, "Father, give me grace with these yogurt cups," the laughter that followed was a healing moment, and grace was found, and suddenly the yogurt cups were all doing what they're supposed to be doing. Grace that forgives, that gets us over that point of damage and hurt. Friends, I commend to you for all those yogurt cup moments of your life. From now on, when you are stuck, just say the prayer, "Father, give me grace with this yogurt cup," whether it's a person or a situation or a thing. Grace is available. Grace is available. I commend you to the message of grace that fortifies and that forgives. And lastly, this grace is forward looking. Verse 36, when he had finished speaking, so we didn't give you the context, did we? This is Paul saying farewell to the elders of Ephesus. They had met him at Miletus, and he's having a final talk with them. He's pouring out his heart to them. It's a parting moment. When he had finished speaking, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. Prayer. Prayer. Communion with God is one of the channels that allows grace to flow into our lives. Prayer is not commanding God. It is listening to and responding to what God is saying. So often prayer does become our trying to, I'm hearing feedback. Prayer sometimes becomes our trying to tell God just what we think and what we want God to do about what we think. When prayer is adjusting the way we see things to God's perspective, it is seeing people and events through God's eyes and feeling with God's heart so that we act with God's compassion and grace. That's what prayer is about. And the grace that is forward-looking and forward-reaching is available to us through that prayer. All of them knelt and prayed together, reaching out to and looking forward to the extending of grace, forward-looking grace that is reflected in their seeking God's will. Ali, Bruce, Linda, Rosemary, God's not finished with me yet. Sorry. God has further ministries for you wherever you are. And part of the grace that we pray for you and commend to you is that grace that will help you to discover the riches, the fullness that God still has in store for you. A forward-looking grace that is seeking God's will. And a forward-looking grace that is about supporting God's workers. You will not be left desolate. That is the promise of conference. The last act of Methodist conference, they read the ministerial stations. Who is going where? And somewhere there was penciled in some lucky person, some blessed soul is coming to St. Albans. And your ministry here will be to discover God's grace with that person. And your ministry now is to send those who lead forward with the assurance that you are supporting them with your prayers. It's the mutuality of grace. It flows both ways. And what a wonderful, tender picture of Christian communion and community is there in those verses. There was much weeping among them all. They embraced Paul and kissed him. And then they brought him to the ship. This parting is a time of such complex emotions. In it all, hear the words of St. Paul to you now and in the days ahead. I commend you to God and to the message of his grace, fortifying, forgiving, forward moving.